Thanks for checking out the Lakeshore Podcast. If this is your first time listening with us, we want you to know God loves you. We want for your hope in Jesus to be renewed and for your faith to come to life. Wherever you are joining us from, we hope this message encourages you.
My favorite chapters in the entire book, that is Ezekiel chapter 37. I'm hoping today that it'll become one of your favorite chapters because it's just so powerful. But Ezekiel chapter 37 is where we're going today. And we are concluding today what we have been in for the last 5 weeks, the series that we've simply entitled Unstuck. Unstuck. And we've been talking about in this series, how do we move past our past? Because one thing we all have in common today is every single one of us, we got a past, don't we? Doesn't matter if it was a good past, if it was a bad past, a sketchy past, all of us, we have a past. And in all of our past is an opportunity for frustration, disappointment, discouragement, setbacks, relationship issues, problems, hurts, pain that cause us to become stuck in a moment. The years may have kept rolling, the hairs may have gotten more gray, or they may have fallen out, depending on who you are. You may have gotten more wisdom, but yet you're stuck in a moment. And what's so dangerous about being stuck in a moment is it begins to change you, doesn't it? You begin to think different, live different. You develop defense mechanisms, and all of a sudden, you're not free to live and be who God's created you to be. You don't have the ability to step into the future God has for you because you are stuck right where you are. I've been in this series asking the question, if we find ourselves in any area of life where we're just stuck, how do we get unstuck? How do we move past our past and into the future that God has for us? If I'm just being honest, really this series has been a series about movement, about saying, God, how do we move from where we are into the future you have for us? Because can I tell you today, again, no matter who you are, no matter where you're coming from today, no matter what you have or haven't done, God has a future for your life. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the thoughts I'm thinking about you, says the Lord." Thoughts to give you a future and a hope. God's got purpose and God's got plan for your life. And so how do we move past our past and into the future? And we've been talking about how this really is a process. It's a pathway that while God is a supernatural miracle working God who can heal, who can break chains, who can open doors that no man can open and close doors that no one, while God is that miracle working all-powerful God, often God walks us down pathway and through process, and in the process, God heals us, he frees us, and he helps us to become unstuck. We've been talking about how God is the God of the impossible, how we got to be able to get down to the root issues because so much of what really we're walking through, it has to do with what's in. The Bible says in the book of Matthew that out of the abundance of your heart, we'll actually look at this later, your whole life is lived. And so often we're addressing the symptoms and we're not getting to the actual real issue. And we got to say, God, help me to look and discover within what's really going on. We talked about following the instructions of God and how obedience is such a big deal. And last week, we talked about just getting our mind right. Talked about realizing we're in a spiritual battle and really it's a battle right here between our ears. It's a battle of thinking. And we got to renew our mind and get our mind right. And today, I'm so excited to be able to conclude this series talking about the power and the potential of our words. I want to talk today about your words, about what's coming out of your mouth and the power and the potential that is in our words. Ezekiel chapter 37, we're going to read today the first 14 verses. It is kind of a lot of scripture. If you haven't done your Bible reading today, I give you permission to check the box off. You did it after this. Ezekiel 37, starting in verse 1, we're going to read out of the New Living Translation, just like the way that it says or talks about this passage. And out of the New Living Translation, starting in verse 1, here's what it says. "The Lord took hold of me," me being Ezekiel, "and I was carried away by the Spirit of the Lord to a valley filled with bones." So everything that's about to happen, it's happening in a vision, in a dream, in the Spirit of the Lord. He led me all around among the bones that covered the valley floor, and they were scattered everywhere across the ground and were completely dried out. Then he asked me, "Son of man, Can these bones become living people again? Oh, sovereign Lord, I replied, you alone know the answer to that. Then he said to me, speak. Now, I want you to notice while we read this passage, how many times God instructs Ezekiel to say something. How many times God instructs Ezekiel to open his mouth and get his words in alignment with God's word. Then he said to me, speak a prophetic message to these bones and say, dry bones, listen to the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says. Look, I'm going to put breath into you and make you live again. I'll put flesh and muscle on you and cover you with skin. I'll put breath in you and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord. So I spoke this message just as he told me. Now, I'm not taking notes today because I already have some notes. But if I was taking notes, I just might circle, highlight, underline, make note of that phrase. So I spoke this message just as he told me. God said, Ezekiel, I need you to say something. And so I spoke this message just as he told me, and suddenly. Can I just say, I love that we serve a God of suddenly. I love that we serve a God who out of nowhere can suddenly do miracles, who out of nowhere can suddenly show up, who when it feels like there is no hope and all hope is lost and there is nothing ahead but gloom and doom, that suddenly God can show up. The Bible says, so I spoke this message just as he told me, and suddenly as I spoke, there was a rattling noise all across the valley. The bones of each body came together and attached themselves as complete skeletons. Then I watched, muscles and flesh formed over the bones. Then skin formed to cover the bodies, but they still had no breath in them. Then he said to me again, speak a prophetic message to the winds. Son of man, speak a prophetic message and say, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Come, O breath from the four winds, and breathe into these dead bodies so they may live again. So I spoke the message as he commanded me, and breath came into the bodies. They all came to life and stood up on their feet, a great army. Then he said to me, remember, this is a vision, this is a dream. Then he said to me, in essence, Ezekiel, why I'm showing you this, why I'm commanding you this. Then he said to me, son of man, these bones, they represent the people of Israel. They represent my people. These bones represent people's lives, a condition of a people group. Son of man, these bones represent the people of Israel, and they are saying, we have become old, dry bones. We've become stuck. All hope is gone. Our nation is finished. Therefore, Ezekiel, we're outside of a dream now. Therefore, I'm asking you in real life, real time, to speak, to prophesy, to say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says, O my people. I will open your graves of exile and cause you to rise again. Then I'll bring you back to the land of Israel. And when this happens, O my people, you will know that I am the Lord. I'm going to put my spirit in you, and you will live again and return home to your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken, and I've done what I said. Yes, the Lord has spoken. I want to read you one more scripture, 2 Corinthians 1:20. It's a New Testament iteration of the passage we just read. It just says, for no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And so through him, the amen is, oh, there's that word again. There's that idea again, that phrase. And so through him, the amen, it is spoken by us, to the glory of God. If you're a note taker, I'd invite you to write this title down today. Simply this, words matter. I want to preach today from this subject, words matter. And again, I want to talk to you today about the power and the potential of your words. I was thinking about the power and the potential of our words, and I don't know why my mind went here, but I started thinking about old childhood movies that I grew up with. Do you have any old childhood favorites that when you think back to, I don't know, being 6th, 7th, maybe even 4th, 5th, maybe even middle school, high school, some old childhood movies? Some of the ones that I really love, I love the movie Home Alone. I just think Home Alone is such a classic. And I also, in watching it, have realized that I watched this movie on television. I don't know if you know what television is. It's not a subscription. It's like a real thing. And it was edited. And so I'm watching this with my kids going, oh, we can't watch this movie. There's a lot of language in this, but I love Home Alone. Another movie, again, I'm just putting it up front. I watched this on television. But classic childhood favorite is I love the movie Dumb and Dumber. I like it a lot. Like I love Dumb and Dumber. And true story, I they will remain nameless today, but I watched Dumb and Dumber on television, edited, with a parent or guardian. And this is true stuff. We were laughing so hard, this parent or guardian legitimately peed their pants. And all of a sudden, they're like, whoa, I gotta go, I just peed my pants. And forever, it'll be one of my favorite movies, probably because of that moment. But a movie I love the movie Hook. You ever seen the movie Hook? It's a it's the iteration of Peter Pan, and Peter Pan's played by Robin Williams. And there's a scene in Hook that is a pretty significant scene. Robin Williams, Peter Pan, he goes back to Never Never Land, and he's rediscovering who he is, rediscovering that he is the Pan. And one of the Lost Boys, I don't know what this says about me, but in all my childhood movies, I never liked the main character. I always liked kind of like the villain or the bad guy. Like we were talking about Pocahontas the other day because we're with kids watching Disney movies. And I told Jenny, man, growing up, I hated John Smith. I thought, I don't like this John Smith. I like Coco. He's got bear claw tattoos and weapons and mohawks. I like that guy. And in watching Hook, I always liked Rufio. Rufio was my guy. And I loved Rufio. And there's a scene where Peter Pan, he becomes the Pan again. And Rufio takes this sword and he bows his knee and he says, "You are the Pan." And it's this significant, why are we laughing? This is significant. This is serious. I'm burying my heart and my soul up here. And we got laughter. But it's the significant moment where he's like, oh no, I can see who you are. You are the Pan. Now, I'm not in any way comparing Peter Pan to Jesus Christ, but that scene, it really does portray for us how salvation happens. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10, that salvation happens not when you come to Christmas and Easter annually. Bible doesn't say salvation happens because you grew up in church. Bible doesn't say salvation happens because you believe that you'd rather go to heaven and not go to hell. The Bible says salvation happens when you believe in your heart to the point that you confess with your mouth, bowing your knee, so to speak, you are the Lord. Jesus would speak to Peter and he would go, Peter, who do men say that I am? People say you're this, people say that. Who do you say that I am? And Peter says, you are the Christ. And Jesus says, flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you. You didn't get that because of my sermons. You got that because God revealed that to you. Salvation happens when something happens on the inside supernaturally that your eyes are opened. And you believe not just that Jesus is a savior, but that he is the Lord. The Bible says you got saved when you in your heart believed. You are who you say that you are. You are the Lord to the point that you confess with your mouth that he's the Lord. What's so interesting though, and let's just be honest about it, we can understand that at a salvation level, but then we leave salvation and we like disconnect all the dots from every other area of our life, and we forget that our words absolutely 1,000% that they do, in fact, matter. I mean, come on, we live in a culture today where we use words so casually, do we not? Like, we're living in this culture where everything is a meme, everything is a joke, sarcasm is the tone of the day, and it is still in style to just say it like it is. Well, I don't, I mean, no offense, but by the way, if you start your sentence with that, let me just socially help you. Stop talking immediately. And we just think, like, no, I can just say whatever I want. We treat words, if we're honest, more like a thermometer than we do a thermostat. I'm just telling the temperature. This is what I think. This is what I feel. I just got to get it out. And we treat words like we can just say words. We can just say things. And it's not a big deal. I mean, we're just talking. We're just joking. We're just laughing. It's not a big deal because we think words are casual. We treat words like they're insignificant, like they don't actually matter. But can I tell you today, cover to cover, what you will see in the entire Bible is that your words absolutely do matter. If you're taking notes, you can write this first thought down today, just something to get in your heart. If you decide to or happen to fall asleep in the next couple minutes, go home with this truth, that your words actually matter. Like your words are doing something on this earth. Your words are having impact in the life that you're living. Part of the circumstance that you're in right now, dare I say, we'll see it in scripture in a moment, is because of the words you've spoken. Number of scriptures we can look at. Matthew 12, look at the scripture. Jesus says this. He says, but I say to you that for every idle word men speak, they will give an account of it. Wow. That's heavy. That's intentional. That is weighty. But I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they'll give an account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Proverbs 18, 20 through 21, another scripture you could reference, says that a man's stomach shall be satisfied, or his life will be filled, one translation says, from the fruit of his mouth. From the produce of his lips he shall be filled. Verse 21 says, for death and life are in the power of the tongue. Did you know today, sitting right where you are, that in your mouth is the potential for either death or life? That within the words that you speak is the potential to bring death, destruction, to cause something to decay, if you will, or the potential to speak life. And to see something go from being hopeless to being hope-filled. For death and life is in the power of the tongue. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 12, verse 18, there's one who speaks like the piercing of a sword, but the tongue of the wise promotes health. You ever had someone say something before? And it cut deep. One of my children, we're working with them right now. It is so innocent, but like, you heard that phrase, out of the mouth of babes? And they just say what they see. And sometimes it's socially awkward and embarrassing for mom and dad. We went somewhere the other day, and they walked in, and the way they greeted someone, they just observed something about this person's appearance that they saw. And they greeted them and walked away, and I said, I am so sorry. We offer counseling at church. I'd like to offer it to you, like, free. Because it's like, just cuts deep. The Bible goes, a man's words, Proverbs 12, that one speaks like the piercing of a sword, but the tongue of the wise, or in other words, the person who understands the power and potential in their words, they actually speak words that promote health. Our words absolutely matter. There's a passage in the New Testament, it's in the book of Mark, and Jesus says this, I'm telling you, you can say to this mountain, be moved and cast into the sea. And it shall be done. So not only will we give an account for our words, and do our words hold within them the potential and power of life or death, but Jesus seems to indicate that our words actually have spiritual impact. That our words in the unseen can actually move things from one place to another place. And this is what we see in Ezekiel 37, is it not? God takes Ezekiel to this valley of dry bones. Now, isn't it interesting how whenever you're stuck in an area of life, it can kind of seem like a valley of dry bones. Like when you get stuck in an area, kind of like this valley, you start looking around going, this is like dead. There is no hope. There is no future. There is no potential. And he takes Ezekiel into this valley of dry bones. The Bible says their bones were very dry. He says, Ezekiel, can these bones live? I think that's a question that every one of us, we've been talking about in the series, but we really have to wrestle with on the inside. Do you really believe you're stuck? What feels hopeless to you, do you really believe that it's hopeless? Or do you have a belief or a conviction or a reality inside of you that it might be dead in my power, but there is a God who has the power to bring death to life? Ezekiel, very wise, godly man, he goes, well, oh Lord, you know. I can't do it, but you know. And for time's sake, we won't unpack the entire passage, but what you will see is little by little, God says, all right, Ezekiel, here's what I want you to do. I want you to prophesy. For the sake of the teaching today, we'll just simply define that word. I want you to speak forth what I am saying. I want you to speak forth my intention for this. I want you to speak forth my will and my desire for this. Ezekiel, I want you to prophesy, to speak forth to these dry bones, and I want you to say to them, notice this in the passage, he doesn't say, just say to them some spiritual stuff. You ever pray with someone before? And they start praying, and immediately you start going, what are they talking about? Don't just make stuff up, Ezekiel. Don't pray just good spiritual words. He says, Ezekiel, I want you to say to them, thus says the word of the Lord. In other words, he says, Ezekiel, I need you to come into agreement with my words through your words. Oh, there's that thought again. How does salvation come? How is salvation experienced? Oh, when we believe in our heart and confess with our mouth. Not just when we believe in our heart, when we believe in our heart and we prophesy to our future. We proclaim, thus says the Lord, and we confess with our mouth, no, he is the Lord of my life. See, Ezekiel, in the same way, I need you to hear my words, to listen to my words, and to speak them forth. If you're taking notes, you can write the second thought down today. And it simply is this, because our words matter. Because our words have power and potential within them, we have to begin to align our words with God's word. Isn't it funny? And by the way, like, my hands up, because I'm guilty of this. I'm looking at these notes last night and early this morning, and to say I felt convicted was an understatement. I need this sermon for my life. But isn't it funny how we can come to church and we say all the right church things? And we say the right church phrases, and we even get on the front row or maybe the back row, wherever you're sitting. And I said front row, then I'm like, no one's actually on the front row. I guess it's just reserved for Jesus. Thank you, by the way, for reserving this row for the Lord. He appreciates it. But we get in church and we're singing these worship songs. I believe God's the God of the impossible. Goodness and mercy are following me. You said it, I believe it. And we have like this real spiritual moment, and then we walk out of here, and our words, if you're listening to us, our self-talk in the car on the way to work, our grumbling when we leave that meeting, our eye roll and as we walk out of the fifth bedtime of the night, our conversation with our spouse, and we're just venting. It is nothing even close to that real cute song you were singing on Sunday. And then we wonder why there's no movement in our life. I don't know, God. I wonder why nothing's changing. I don't know. I wonder why I still feel stuck. I mean, God, we've been in this series for 5 weeks and nothing's happening. Like, could it be possible that it's not that these things aren't true and it's not that God is not willing and able, but is it possible that your words are out of alignment? This is a much bigger thought than we have time for, but remember, God's the creator of all things. And God created things with his words. Let there be light, and there was light. But then God created you and I, created man in his image. And the Bible tells us that God then gave to man delegated authority. And if you will study the scripture, what you will find is from that day forward, the way things have worked, the way that heaven has invaded earth, if you will, is God speaks to man, and through the power of his words, man proclaims, prophesies, speaks, thus said the Lord. This is why, by the way, in John chapter 1, it says, and the word became flesh. Talking about Jesus, that prophetic word that God prophesied, and he spoke to men of God, to prophets, and he spoke to people of God and said, this is what I'm going to do. And they chose to get their words into alignment and to say, thus says the Lord, this is what God will do. And John 1 says, because of that, the word became flesh. Our words matter because we have delegated authority. And let me just, guys, say this. I'm not saying here today that we have the same authority in our words that God does, because let's just be clear, we do not. We do not have creative power like God has, in a sense that we can go, let there be a red Ferrari. Like, say it all you want. It's probably not happening. But what we do have is the power within our words to come into agreement with things. By the way, could it be possible that part of the reason you're stuck where you are is because you actually are really, really, really good at coming into agreement with spiritual things? They're just the wrong spiritual things. The enemy, we talked about this last week, he deals in lies by way of thinking. You get in a moment, you get in a situation, and he starts sowing lies into your mind. And what do? You come into agreement with them, with your words. It'll always be like this. This is just the way that it is. And the list could go on and on and on. And you come into agreement with those thoughts, with that thinking, with his desired outcome, with your words, and then wonder why it happens, because words are powerful. And what we see in Ezekiel is that when we are in a valley of dry bones, when we are in a season of life where it's just hard. You ever been in a season like that before? Someone goes, hey man, how you doing? The only way I know how to describe it is life is just really hard. And it feels like this is just the new forever. That when you get in a valley of dry bones, what you have to begin to do is go to what God has said. Ask God what he's saying, and then with your words, come into agreement with it. This is 2 Corinthians 1:20. The Bible goes, for no matter how many promises God has made, they're all yes in Christ. And so, through him, the amen is spoken by us. Paul starts and goes, just so we're on the same page, there's nothing off the table. No matter how many promises God has made in Christ Jesus, they are all, someone say all, they are all in Christ. Yes, there is nothing in the scripture that you will find that God goes, oh, no, this is awkward. That's available for Bob, but not for you. I should have put it in the red. No, there's nothing you'll find that's not available to you. Matter of fact, Acts 10, 34 through 35, I think it is, Peter goes, in truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality, that anyone who will work righteousness, what God has done for one, he will do for another. Paul says this in Galatians 2 or somewhere in Galatians. He goes, man, truly, God shows personal favoritism to no man. What he did for Peter, he's doing for me. God does not play favorites. What God has done for one, God will do for another. What God can do for one, God can do for another. All of God's promises are yes. But, however, Paul writes, all of God's promises are yes. And so through him, just like we receive salvation, just like we believe something in our heart and we confess it, in the same way, the amen, the so be it, is spoken by you and I. It's not that it doesn't matter, but just believing it isn't the whole equation. I don't know why things aren't happening for me. I don't know why I always just feel like I'm stuck. I mean, like, I believe the Bible. Yeah. But with your words, are you coming into agreement with what you say you believe? Or are you coming into agreement all day, every day with how you feel, what I see? See, our words matter. And because our words matter, we have to get them in alignment with what God's word says. So here's the big question, and we conclude with this. So how do I do that? How do I do that? And I would offer you this thought. You can write this down. We do this through filling our heart with and renewing our mind to the word of God. Have you ever left a church service before and thought to yourself, all right, it's a new day. We took communion today. Wiping the slate clean. I'm going to try so much harder. And then by Wednesday, you already dropped the ball. How about me like a million times? All right, Monday, it's a new week. I'm going to, and what I found about myself is that my willpower and my discipline and my, I'm just going to try harder, at least for me, maybe you're a superhero, it doesn't work for me like that. And I think sometimes where we disconnect the dots is we go, all right, so I'm going to just try harder. Hey, babe, keep me accountable from now on. I'm getting my words in alignment with God's word. But what we have to remember is the Bible teaches us, your mouth only speaks what's in your heart. Matthew 12, 34 through 35, Jesus says it this way. He says, brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, brings forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. I used to be such a just big Laker fan. And was that a sneeze or a laugh? Is someone laughing again at... Definitely not a fan of the Hornets. Anyways. But I used to be a big Laker fan. I remember in high school, you didn't even have to ask me. I'm telling you every stat of every game. I'm going back and I'm watching them on replay, and I could tell you everything about the Lakers, everything about what was happening on the team. I could tell you what's happening in the league. I was so into basketball. And the reason I was able to speak so freely about it is because I would spend so much time on the computer just filling my heart. And out of the abundance of my heart, my mouth speaks. When people go like, you know, hey, what team do you like? Oh, Lakers. Oh, yeah, how do you think things are going? Honestly, couldn't tell you because I haven't watched a game or got on ESPN like at all in the last probably year and a half plus. I just don't really care anymore. And because I'm not daily, weekly, monthly, minute by minute filling my heart with that treasure, I can't speak freely about it anymore. Jesus goes, you do know that out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaks. That a good man, because he's daily putting good treasure there, he's getting the good treasure of the things of God. He's going back and getting the good treasure of the scripture. He's spending time praying and he's getting the good treasure of what a good man out of the good treasure that he's stored up in his heart brings forth good things. But an evil man, let's just say it this way. A man who is dominated and ruled by his five senses. A man who is dominated and ruled by the five senses. An evil man, a fleshly man, a sensual man. He just brings forth things that are of this world because it's all he fills the treasure of his heart with. This might be like a really silly example, but if you wanted some cream cheese on your bagel, even if I prayed and I said, in the name of Jesus, Philadelphia cream cheese, and I used the Colgate toothpaste, you ain't getting cream cheese because the bottle has been filled with something. And when I squeeze that bottle, whatever it's been filled with is what's coming out. How do I begin to get my words in alignment with what God says? Oh, it's pretty simple, actually. I daily, continually, I fill my heart with the good treasure of what God has said. What we may be overlooking in this Ezekiel passage is that before Ezekiel was a sayer, he was a hearer. Before Ezekiel could say, thus says the Lord, he had to hear what the Lord was saying. Can I ask you today, in the area, whatever that might be, where you feel stuck, do you know what the Lord is saying? Do you know what God has already declared as truth from his word? Do you know what God is saying real time to you about what he's doing in this situation? Because if not, newsflash, you can't say it. We got to fill our heart with the things of God. Got to fill our heart with what God is saying. And secondly, we have to renew our mind. We've got to renew our mind. Romans 12:2 says this. It says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Hey, Spencer, team, can we do that second song at the close of service? The You Said It, I Believe It. That, yeah. I don't know what it's called, but let's do that song. We'll get there in a minute. But the Bible says, and do not be conformed to this world. Translation, don't live like, talk like, think like the world does. That's the culture we live in, man. I'm just saying that like it is. Paul goes, yeah, bad idea. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Do you know why we have to renew our mind? Because in all of us, we have ingrained thinking and thought patterns and perspective that are not in alignment with God's word. The only way that you get that out, it's like if you had a big 5-gallon bucket full of just dirt and stuff, and you could take a hose and just put that hose in there and turn the water on, and it might not happen in 5 seconds, might not happen in 5 minutes, might not happen in 5 hours. But eventually that continual flow of water, that continual flow of water will flush out the old and bring cleansing to that container. Do you know how you get your words in alignment with God? You got to start renewing your mind. You and me both. I got things that I say. I got statements that I'll make. I got things that I'll mutter to myself as I trip over another toy in my hallway that's out of alignment. That's an idle word that Jesus says you will be held accountable for. That's out of alignment. But I'm saying it because there's some perspectives and some ways of thinking that even though I know what the Bible says, I just see it this way, that I have to allow God to transform and change through the continual renewing of my mind. You want to get unstuck? You got to start getting your words in alignment. Your words matter. There's such power and potential in your words. And there is the power, the ability to come into agreement with what God has said, with what God is saying, and say, thus says the Lord. Stop talking to yourself like that. Stop talking about yourself to yourself on the drive home from work like that. Stop venting to your spouse like that. Stop talking about your kids like that. Stop getting out of meetings and conversations. Stop getting off of social media and just stop, because your words are doing something. Your words are coming into agreement with something, and like it or not, the Bible goes, this is how life works. So if you want what I have for you, which by the way, it's all yes. It's all on the table. It's all available. If you want what I have for you in the same way that you bowed your knee and said, you are the Lord, I believe it, and therefore I speak, you are the Lord. You start getting my word in your heart, and you start saying over your kids at night. You start talking about in the car with your spouse. You leave that meeting and you discipline yourself to say, I will say what God's word says. Your mind, your responsibility. I wish somebody else could be responsible for my mind, but they cannot. In the same way, your words, your responsibility. Your words, your responsibility. And I believe that God has the power to break you free, to break you out, to break that cycle that's been going on for generations. I believe God has the ability to open that door you can't open. I believe God has the ability to propel you forward in that area you feel stuck in. But it ain't gonna happen until you come back to saying, God, I gotta get my words in alignment with your words. Here's what I wanna do as we close. I wanna invite you today, not to Christian karaoke, but I'd like to invite you today as we close to, with a new perspective on your words, to join our community as we sing and we declare, you said it, I believe it. To join our community of faith as we lift up our voice and we get our words in alignment. You know, it's so funny, and we'll close with this. Like, well, you know, I get kind of uncomfortable in church, you know. Can I just say, if you can't do it in church, I promise you, you're not doing it at home. If you can't do it in a community of faith, and you can't do it in a moment like this, I promise you, you are not doing this on a Tuesday in your bedroom when you feel low. Stretch that muscle. Get past the uncomfortable. And join us today as we declare, no longer are we settling for being stuck. No longer are we living in the wilderness going around. And no, we're going to see the promised land. We're going to see what God has declared is our future. We're going to realize the potential of our life, because we're going to move past our past by getting our hearts and our words in alignment, by allowing God to do a supernatural work. Matter of fact, would you stand on your feet with me today? And as you do, would you simply close your eyes and would you bow your heads? Matter of fact, if you're comfortable, would you just stretch your hands straight to heaven? Come on, can we lift our hands all across this place today? Lord, today we make on this Sunday a declarative statement about our life, that no longer will we remain stuck. No longer will we settle for what the enemy meant for evil, but we will allow you to break free, to break forth into our present reality and break us into our future reality. God, today we don't want to be stuck anymore. And so would you help us to, with our hearts, come fully into alignment with your word and to say what you have said.
Thanks again for listening. To hear more messages like this one, make sure to subscribe and check out our podcast channel for more messages. If you like what you're hearing, share it with your friends. For more content from Lakeshore and information on services, check us out at lakeshorecf.com.